Definitely need to. Okay, there we go. As we come to the last passage in Ephesians, we are confronted with a question. And that's the question I want to consider this morning. Do we love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible, with love unceasing, unending? That's the question I want us to consider. From this last passage, it's going to require a look back and review of all that's come before it. Join me in prayer. Father, as we turn again to your word, grant us to hear you, to understand what you are saying, to understand what you would have of us, to understand specifically what it means to love the Lord Jesus Christ unceasingly. Grant us to know you. Grant us to grow in our knowledge of you, Father, Son, and Spirit, and so live. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Here's the last few verses. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. That's the official ending there. I'm still too loud, Amir. Can you turn it down, please? Well, I don't know if I'm too loud, but the microphone is. Right before that was something a little more on the personal note in verse 21 of chapter 6. So that you also may know how I am and that I am doing, Tychius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Three times in that whole section, love is mentioned. It's mentioned twice in verse 24, but it doesn't have to be in the original. So in our English translations, four times. And yet that's not uncommon for this letter. There are over 15 verses in this short six-chapter letter that mention love. Either love as a noun, love, or as what turns into an adjective, beloved, or as a verb, love. Love, as Christ loved you. So it's fair to say that this is a big idea, main idea in this letter. Who would have thought, right? You think, oh, if I want to go to the Bible on love, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, right? Well, no, here it is. Ephesians, we've now been in it sometime since the fall, I believe. Coming to this last passage, these last verses, and it gets all like very specific. I send Tychicus to you so you would know. And we like to zone out at that point, or we tend to zone out at that point. But verse 24 is not only an encouragement, it's a challenge. Originally to them who just heard this whole letter in one sitting. That'd be shorter than any of my sermons, by the way. Take about 15 minutes maybe. Oh yeah, let's bring that on instead, right? Now how about that also? We read all of Ephesians next week and then I preach? But anyway, the guys are looking at me suspect over there. Forgive my drinking. I've had a sinus thing this week and it's really annoying me. But he says, grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ incorruptibly, or unending, or unceasing. That means if that wasn't them or any of them who were hearing this, they should be going, wait, what? And the same thing for us as well. And I got stuck on that passage because of all the times love is mentioned in this letter, not once are we told to love the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, thanks to the computer, I couldn't find a command in the epistles where we're told to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to just this letter. It's quite interesting to end a letter with such a statement when there's been nothing, or has there been, about loving the Lord Jesus Christ unceasingly. That's what this whole letter has actually been about. The little passage that comes before verses 22 and 23 and 24, so that you may know how I am and what I am doing. What is Paul doing? Chapter 4, verse 1, he's in chains for preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and raised from the dead. If we're to go over and look at Philippians, he tells the Philippians that all of those who are guarding him have heard the gospel. And then he concludes Philippians by saying, greetings from the brothers, fellow believers of Caesar's household. It's not as clear from Ephesians, they're going to find out firsthand from Tychicus, but from other letters and even a couple of hints in Ephesians, it's clear what Paul's been doing while in prison. He's been loving the Lord Jesus Christ nonstop. Being imprisoned hasn't stopped him. Having been beaten and shipwrecked didn't stop him. And he wants to encourage the Christians in the town where he first preached the gospel to them, they first heard from him, to do just the same. But he didn't say it anywhere in the letter that way like you and I might expect it. But he ends the letter this way. This letter and God's kindness is to whoever loves the Lord Jesus Christ incorruptibly, unceasingly. Which had me thinking, Do we? I mean, what comes to your mind? Don't say it out loud, but actually think about it. When you think about someone who loves Jesus, and I know I just kind of directed you a little bit, didn't I? What comes to your mind? You know, that person who just is just, I just love Jesus. You know, they're just so full of warm fuzzies for Jesus. Loving the Lord Jesus Christ is definitely going to include that to various degrees at different times. But that is not what we find in Scripture, particularly in Ephesians. So I want us to look back to understand this encouragement and exhortation that's there in the very end and consider what it actually means so that we can ask ourselves, do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? And we'll find that it's not about feelings. Not that there will not be feelings, but it's not about that at all. Some of you are encouraged by that comment. Some of you are concerned by that comment. Well, we're going to go to the Word and look to the Word and specifically staying in just this letter to consider that phrase, what it means. So again, verses 21 and 22, telling them, I'm going to send Tychicus to you to encourage your hearts. Verse 23, very common ending, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God is the source of those. It's what He wants for them. It comes from God. But then verse 24, who loved the Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. So back to where we've gone many times. First, let's define love. The same word we use when we talk about chocolate, surfing, playing in the snow. This is not that word. Said it before, and I'm going to repeat myself because this is a critical. especially since we use that word love wrong as far as what it means in Scripture or differently all the time. When we use the word love, what we mean is we really, 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 really like something because of what we get from it. And so we want it. Think about that. It's a possessive thing. It's a what it brings me kind of thing, right? Why do you want chocolate? I'm not picking anyone who likes chocolate. I like chocolate. Why do I want to surf? Whatever we might insert, because of what we get out of it. This is not that word at all. But love in Scripture, in Ephesians, yes, it's that word agape, and it's either the noun or the verb. Yeah, great, okay, wonderful, glad you know that, right? Put that aside. What does it mean? It means to seek the highest good, the ultimate good for the other person, even at great expense or cost to self. That's what it means. The closest we come to understanding that in our current cultural situation is most of the time, though this is disappearing too, a mother and a child. Because if a mom's only going to love a kid when the kid is benefiting them and blessing them and making life easy and comfortable, it's just not going to happen because they're born and they keep you up all night and they want to eat, but they don't eat. And then they do eat and they don't eat and they got stomach issues and they cry and they keep you up. And then you're looking at me like that. That's how it works. That's how it was for you and me and every one of us. But by the grace of God, still in our culture, at least we can see it there. I don't know that it's hardly anywhere else in our culture. I didn't include dads because dads are fine with being baby dads and baby mamas, and they don't even commit to taking care of this kid, and they're off somewhere else. Thank you, Lynn. Certainly can't include it in marriage, because it's not about that. And not just because of what's been going on recently. We gave it up a long time ago when it was, oh, irreconcilable differences, no fault. No fault. I'm just not happy. So I'm out of here. So really, we have to admit right now in our contemporary culture, we don't know what love is as far as this kind of love that's in Scripture. And the only place we're likely to see it outside of the church and Christian marriages, Lord willing, is with typical mom and child. But it is the seeking of the ultimate good for the other person, even at great cost to self. That is what love means. So when we see that word love here, we're seeing grace be with all, so the undeserved kindness of God on all who seek Christ's ultimate good, even when it's going to cost me something. And not just sometimes, not just part of life, but continually. That's the idea involved with incorruptible, right? Think about what? Diamonds. Diamonds are for life. It's not like a commercial, right? Yeah. Why diamonds, though? You know, because they can handle a lot. Now, they can't handle 2,000-degree house fire. We know. We found that out. Though they were still intact. Some people's did survive, and they need a little bit of cleaning. I mean, it's amazing how hard and durable, in a sense, incorruptible diamonds are, right? And that's what the idea is. If something can't be corrupted, if it can't be ruined, then it continues. So whether your quote-unquote love for Jesus is twisted and wrong, it ends, or you just stop, which is exactly the exhortation to the church of Ephesus in Revelation. You have lost your first love. The idea of incorruptible has to do with means it keeps going. So it's unending, or the word I have chosen is unceasing. And it's actually the last word in this letter, just like it is in the English here. It's the last word that shows up. Love doesn't get repeated twice. It says, grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptibility or with unendingness or unceasingness. Not sure if that's proper English, but you get the idea. So it means to all those who will continually, day in and day out, no matter what the weather, no matter what the circumstances, whether in prison or not, in sickness and health, for better or worse. Sound familiar? Yeah. Marriage covenant, right? Have continued to seek what is the ultimate good for Jesus Christ. That's what that means. Now, from the letter, what does that look like before we can ask ourselves whether or not that's true of us? Well, it involves first and foremost what we have in chapters 1 through 3. No, I'm not going through every verse in chapters 1 through 3. But what we have in chapters 1 through 3 is really a declaration of the love of God for His children. A proclamation, an explanation of the love of God for His children. In order to love the Lord Jesus Christ unceasingly, it starts with knowing the love of God for us in Christ. I will read some of it though. Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be, or praise be, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. There's the first appearance of that word. Whose love is this talking about? The Father's love. Known by the child of God, known by the Christian, known by the one who has faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. If you're going to write a letter to someone and encourage them and exhort them to continue to love the Lord Jesus Christ, you might think that somewhere along the lines you're going to tell them, love Jesus. That doesn't happen, and it doesn't start there. It starts with understanding the love of the Father that is in and through the Son, Jesus. You have to know that. You have to understand that. Because that is what comes first. You see, we don't love Christ that God would love us. We're to love Christ unceasingly because of the unceasing love the Father has for us. Anyone paying attention when Miguel was reading 1 John 3? I wish Liam would have been here, but he's not because he's preaching through 1 John, right? The same concepts are there in different words with a different emphasis in 1 John 3 that's here in the whole letter to the Ephesians that we have gone through now over the past months. It starts with knowing or understanding the love of God. That it is in love that God has brought about the blessing of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ for His children who have faith in Christ. Chapter 2. Understanding the depth of God's love, the sweetness of God's love, means understanding the depth of the darkness of where we are at apart from Him being a loving God. 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sin. You weren't maimed, weren't limping, weren't coughing like I am, sort of weakened or whatever because of your rebellion against God and your refusal to follow what He says is good. Because that's what sin is. Sin is, I know what's good. God, you don't know. Just think about the first one, Adam. God said, here you go, everything. It's very good. Just don't eat from this one tree. And Adam said, I don't think that's a good idea to not eat from that tree. I think it's a good idea to eat from that tree. And all the good you've given me is not good enough, so I'm going to do what I think is good, and here we are. Sins and trespasses, big words, meaning we decide what's good. And where does that get us? It gets us nowhere good, pun intended. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. This is speaking to Christians, so it's speaking about what was past tense reality for them. So if you are in Christ by grace through faith in Him, this is true of you. This was past, now what is present. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior by grace through faith in Him, this is your reality now. Dead. Dead to God in your rebellion against Him. walking, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. We were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind, but God, rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us. He didn't look at us like we look at chocolate or surfing or tiddlywinks or whatever it is you really, 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 really like to do because it makes you feel good. He decided to do what was ultimately good and beneficial and best for us. And at the greatest cost, the death of His Son. But there we have love again, right there in chapter 2. But God being rich in mercy, verse 4, because of the great love with which He loved us. So what was Paul by the Spirit doing for the Ephesians, and what was going on for us by the Spirit, I pray, over the past months? In the first three chapters, is presenting for us the love of God. That is ours if we're Christians. At the cost of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. No mention of us supposed to love Him. Chapter after chapter, and we've got one more, 3. And behold, what manner of love is this? 1 John words, Ephesian words. It starts there. It has to start there. We go on into chapter 3. And I'm pointing us to the prayer at the end of that chapter. Starting in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you, so this is how He was praying for the Ephesian Christians, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, not your love, but the love of God, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. There was a prayer in chapter 1, too, a prayer that ultimately they would grow in their knowledge of God. Here it gets specific, their knowledge of the love of God, the love of Christ. 3 chapters spent on not calling the Christians to love God, not calling Christians to love the Lord Jesus Christ, but 3 chapters spent on endeavoring to make known to these Christians who had already heard about it, make known to them how deep, how wide, how love, how unfathomable is the love of God in Christ, the love of Christ. Do you know the love of God? Look to the cross. There is the love of God. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. The innocent for the guilty. To reconcile the guilty as innocent to the Father. That's love. That's seeking the highest good for someone else at a cost. What a cost. You say, well, you know, was that over after 3 days? It is not over. God the Son became a man, fully man. He is still incarnate, though now in a resurrected body, and He still bears the wounds from the cross. That's the cost. He willingly gave Himself. That's a demonstration of the love of God. Before we concern ourselves with whether or not we love the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to know whether or not we understand and do we really know the love of God. That's what the first 3 chapters has been about. The whole letter can be summarized by love. And it starts out with understanding, knowing, and growing in our knowledge, our understanding of God's love for us. Think about it, even on the human level, when we have the wrong idea of love, still, when we're being selfish, right, and it's about us, the more we like someone, the more we get something from someone, the more we're going to care about caring for them and pleasing them, right? That's just kind of how it works. Well, guess what? We can even function that way with Jesus. As selfish as that sounds, that's the biblical reality. We are to seek what is the highest good for Christ, His exaltation and glory unceasingly, because He's given us more than we can begin to understand. That's the reality. It starts there. And if we don't pass there, you know, you don't pass go, you don't go anywhere. Do we understand that? Have we grown in our understanding of that? Which, yes, means growing in our understanding of the fact that we don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't ask for it. We weren't seeking it. No bubbles coming up. On the bottom, dead. And in His great mercy, because of His love, He raised us up. It starts there. So then we get to chapter 4, and now we're going to hear, okay, so now that you understand the love of God in Christ, now love the Lord Jesus Christ. Nope, you're still not going to see that. There's not the command to love the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is now the command for the Christian to love. Chapter 4, verse 1. Paul, by the Spirit, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Live in a manner worthy of this love that you have found yourself in. The hope that is now yours, the inheritance that is now yours, the power of God in you. Chapter 1, the three things in that prayer. To walk, which means to live in a manner worthy of, in keeping with the calling to which you have been called. This isn't live this way now so you get called. Call's already been made. You're alive in Christ. Now live this way, verse 2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Starts with understanding the love of God. Knowing that it's through Christ, through faith in Him, by the grace of God, that we get to call God Father. That we're beloved in the beloved. And it's from that position that we're to love the Lord Jesus Christ unceasingly. But it's not through a command to do that. It's through loving one another. So this sounds familiar. I mean, it just sounds like Jesus and John. It sounds like 1 John. Yeah. But were you thinking about that when we were going through Ephesians? And yet that's what's here. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Verse 15 of chapter 4, rather speaking the truth in love. Verse 16, chapter 4, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That's exactly right. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. As Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In the second half of the letter, we have the instructions and the exhortations to love. But notice, it's not to love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to love your brothers and sisters in Christ who are next to you. You know, every sin, committed or not committed, has to do with the issue of loving those around us. It's against God, and it has to do with loving God. But it comes down to whether or not we love those around us. You say, come on, there's sins that doesn't hurt anyone. No. There aren't. Your private lust impacts your relationships. Your private anger and your bitterness you're holding on to that you don't think anyone else knows impacts your relationships. Your drunkenness, which leads to debauchery, you like that word, don't you? It means foolish living. It impacts other people. Your lying instead of speaking the truth impacts other people. You're engaging in immorality and the deeds of darkness impacts other people. Your coarse joking and jesting, which don't build up, impact other people. In other words, to sin or not to sin is to ask the question, am I going to love those around me or not? And to love those around me is to ask and answer the question, am I going to love the Lord Jesus Christ unceasingly? Because of this love that he has lavished upon me. And then we get to husbands. My goodness, the word love appears so many times. Loving our wives as Christ loved the church. Five twenty-five, 533, not going in order. See what I'm saying? You can divide the letter in half. The first half, to use the words from 1 John, is behold the love of God in Christ. Know it. Understand it. Grow in it together with all the saints. How deep and how wide it is. And the second half of the letter is, now love your brothers and sisters the way Christ has loved you. Now love your husbands. Love your wives. Love your children. Love your parents. Slaves, love your masters. As you've been loved in Christ. That's the letter to us. So we finish up this morning and we end on that encouragement and exhortation that's there in verse 24. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible, unceasing, unending. Do we? The first question is, well, do we understand God's love for us? That it comes through Christ and Christ alone who died in our place. That even though I've grown up in a family that comes to church on Sunday and I'm not out doing a lot of the things that everyone else is doing and I'm here, that apart from what Christ did, I cannot call the maker of heaven and earth Father. But thanks be to God. And we're not done understanding it. They weren't, we're not. It starts there because it's from there, from that reality, from that position of security and unconditional acceptance, because Christ has met the condition that we look to the one who calls out the stars by name and we say, Father. And he says, Beloved. And then as his beloved, by his Spirit dwelling in us, we demonstrate his love. Starting with his own family. And on to everyone and anyone else. And when we do that, we are loving the Lord Jesus Christ unceasingly. This doesn't mean you're never going to yell at your kids on the way here in the morning or snap at your wife. But it means you say, I was wrong. That's not honoring to Christ. That's not how he treats me. Please forgive me. It doesn't mean you won't have to say such things to coworkers. But we cannot go on complacently and blindly thinking we're living Christ. Because not even those who had Paul with them for 3 years were allowed to do that. And then they are exhorted by the messenger of God through the apostle John to wake up. Where is your first love? So we too need to ask this question and consider it. Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ unceasingly? Meaning, do we understand that we have been undeservedly and unconditionally shown love, concern for our greatest good at a high cost, that we've been shown love in Jesus Christ, a love that we're only scratching the surface of to understand, and that it's from that love that we seek Christ's ultimate and highest good by putting up with one another. And not just grudgingly. Oh, that's so-and-so, and you know how they are. You know how you are? You don't. I don't. If we did, we'd all be face down right now. Right? Bearing with one another in love. Speaking the truth in love. Loving, forgiving, having grace for one another as we've been forgiven, as we've been loved, as we have been graced. Please do not leave here this morning with, yeah, I love Jesus. I hope you do. I'm praying you do. I hope we do. I'm praying we do. But this is what it looks like. And I would encourage you to reread, because we've read it together, but on your own, Ephesians this next week. If possible, all at once in one sitting. Take you 15 minutes maybe. Do it again and again. Because we're actually not done with Ephesians, that we just finished it. I want to go back and take a couple of Sundays to look at certain topics that appeared in this letter that we get specifically in this letter. So we'll continue to be in it somewhat. But just in the conclusion this morning from these verses, to go back and reread it. See if what I'm saying is really there. Test it. Is that there? And where are you and where are we? Because to be a Christian means to be in the unceasing, unending, incorruptible love of God through the sacrifice of Christ, with the commission, with the goal, with the marching orders, with the life purpose of seeking Christ's highest good nonstop. And that's played out on the horizontal with one another. And that's, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, how they'll know that you're mine and that you're loved with the same love the Father loves me. That is Jesus speaking. That's how they're going to know. That's how we get to love Jesus. There'll be emotions along the way, all kinds. But that's what it is biblically. Join me in prayer. Father, it is so easy to just use words. I'm speaking for myself and have ideas and characters or pictures or examples that aren't actually what's there in your word and usually make it easier for me. Oh, Father, forgive me. And thank you for your word, which proclaims your mind-blowing love, which is flowing from who you are. And your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. We are but a mist. You are forever. We barely know even what we know, and you know all things. You are good. You are God, and there is no other. Thank you that you've revealed yourself, your love, and your Son. Work in us, Father, by your Spirit, to understand together just how deep and wide the love of Christ is, and transform us more and more, that we would be imitators of you and live out the love of Christ that we've come to know. That what characterizes us together is a continual day in and day out love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Grant this, Father, through Christ being exalted, to the blessing of others and to our blessing, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.